Today she is Masechta Menachos Daf Tzadikei. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbaruch on Daf Tzadikei Yom and Aleph, three lines from the top. As we had learned in the previous shiur, there was a machloikus exactly what was the shape of the lechem upon him. Rochanina's opinion was it looked like a teva prutza. Teva prutza means like a flat, open bread. That was, as we discussed in that shear, it looked like a upside down a sea. And the other mandama held, Rabbi Yochanan held, it was l'ksina merkedes, like a boat, narrow on the bottom and getting wider on the top. Says the Gemara Tanya, we learned in a brisa command amikim in svina merkedes. There's a brisa that supports the opinion that it looked like a moving boat. The Tanya, abe snifim shazav hayisham. There were four gold boards there, and they would have room for the bread to sit on. They looked like the boards that are called konim, had their konim that go out from the branch out from a tree, for example. So, that they were used, as we said in our previous year, they were sort of curved. And the reason why that we needed to be curved, says the Gemara, because they had to be Shudaim Kafin Sfina Rekedas, they looked like this moving ship. Says the Gemara Bailahu, not a Gemara, asked the following question. We know that the Lechem upon him was on the Shulchan all week. And then every Shabbos, as we have discussed, that we'll discuss, they took out the old lechem upon him and they put in the new lechem upon him. Gemara's question now is, when Klal Yisrael in the Mishkan traveled on Shabbos, the halacha is that when they traveled, not Shabbos, during the week, what happens to the status of the lechem upon him? At that point, they're going to dismantle the Mishkan. And if at the point that they're going to dismantle the Mishkan, the halach is that the lechem haponim is no longer where it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be on the shulchan in the Beis HaMikdash, and now while it's dismantled, the question that the Gemara is posing is that perhaps given that situation, it's in a category of yotze. And we learned many times in our shiurim that there's a concept that if something is taken out from the place that it's supposed to be, it becomes disqualified. So the question is, while they're traveling, does that happen to the slechem, and they become possible because of yotzei, or ainan v'sulam nasos, because since they're where they're supposed to be, they're in the way that the Mishkan is supposed to be traveling, because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants them to do, so that's why it's not a problem of yotze. Of course, in learning this Gemara, the question that comes up is that this is a question that not only is it not relevant b'zman hazeh, but it's more than not relevant b'zman hazeh. Even in Mitzvah Shem, when the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt b'meheira b'yameinu, it really won't be a relevant question, because Mishkan, as we know, was traveling the years that they were in the Midbar. But the Beis HaMikdash, when it will be rebuilt, won't be something that's going to be traveling. So if it won't be something that's going to be traveling, why do we have to discuss that? Why is this question relevant? And the Rishonim and the Achronim take many different approaches to this question. Some Rishonim suggest that just because it's not ever going to be relevant is not a reason that there should be no discussion about it. And therefore, even though it's not relevant, our Gemara is discussing it. Others say that it can have, since it's going to help us, as we're going to see in the Gemara now, understanding how to understand the words of various psukim in the Torah. So when we're talking about trying to understand words in the Torah, so now understanding, knowing the answer to this question is here to help us understand Pshat and the Pasuk, and that is always relative. Says the Gemara, this question is a machloikus of Yochanan Rabbi Shuban Levi. Chanam and Nifsal, One mandam says they become disqualified, the charamer, and the other mandam says that they don't become panis, and if so, they don't become disqualified. Explains the gemara, mandam and nifsal. The mandam that says that they become disqualified while the mishkan is traveling. The ksiv, the pasuk says, kash yachyu ma ken yisol. This pasuk is comparing the time when the mishkan is traveling to when it's in one place. So if the Mishkan is in its place, as we said, if the lechem is taken out from where it's supposed to be, it's obvious to us that it would become possible. So therefore, even when it's traveling, it becomes possible by being taken out where it's supposed to be. Mandamar, the mandam that says ain't nifsal, that it doesn't become possible while it's traveling. The ksiv, the pasuk says, "V'lechem atomet olav yiyam." The Torah is teaching us that even when they're traveling, the lechem upon him was kept on the shulchan. And what that means is that when it's on the shulchan, it has the status of lechem upon him, even though they're on the move. Ask the Gemara of Idach Nami, the man the omer that holds that they don't become possible during travel. Hagsiv kashiyachnu ken yisou. Isn't that an indication, as we just explained, that when they're not traveling, if it's taken out from where they're supposed to be, it becomes possible. Even when they're not traveling, so too should be the halakam. Says the Gemara l'idach kisa. He explains that pasuk just the opposite. Ma'bech niyasai kilo yotzim kaimai. When the Mishkan is where it's supposed to be, and the lechem upon him is where it's supposed to be. So, of course, the lechem upon him is perfectly fine. Loi mifso. Apani siyasai, so too, when the Mishkan is traveling, even if it hasn't moved, loi mifso doesn't become disqualified. Ask the Gemara, Virach Nami, the mandama that says that it becomes possible during travel. What will he do with the pasik? Haksiv. V'lechem atomid olav yiyah, that it should always be there. So isn't that clearly indication that even when they're traveling, the lechem upon them doesn't get possible? Says Malach Yasser of Dimi, when Dimi came from Etzisrael to Bavel Omer, but Mesuda, if the lechem upon him is on the shulchan, the kulam, and I plead, there's no room for disagreement that it doesn't become disqualified, even if they are traveling. Based on the pasig of the lechem atamid all of year. El Kipli, where is there room for machlaikis? But Masulik, that they took down the shulchan and the lechem was removed from the shulchan, as it is removed every Shabbos, and then they started traveling. That's the way Rashi seems to learn, that they took, so, but to understand Rashi properly, Tosfos and many others explain that if they took the lechem out on Shabbos after the time when the lechem is supposed to be taken down on Shabbos, so then what's the problem? That lechem was on the shulchan all week long, and it was removed on Shabbos when it's supposed to be removed and distributed to the kahanim. So therefore, and in general, it's a very difficult explanation to say that they traveled in the middle of the day and took out the lechem before they were supposed to take the lechem before the time they were supposed to take it. Especially, as many Rishonim point out, that we don't find that they traveled on Shabbos. And therefore, if they don't travel on Shabbos, how could this question even come up? So I saw one pshat that what happens if Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos? So they distributed the lechem upon him, rearranged the new lechem upon him, as they do every Shabbos, but because it was Yom Kippur, they couldn't eat it until Matzah Shabbos. And then, right away, Matzah Shabbos, before they could get a chance to eat it, they started to travel. And that's the question, what becomes the status, what's the status of this lechem? Says the Gemara, Okay, pligi masulik. Mandam and if so, the mandam that says it becomes puzzle, the ksiv kashiach can you saw. Mabach and the yosai. If the lechem is taken outside of the azara, nifsal b'yaytzei. After the siyasai, if the azara is dismantled, it's considered like it's outside the azara. And since it's considered like it's outside the azara, the lechem becomes pasul. Umandama in nifsal, and the mandama that says doesn't pasul, the ksiv, the nasa oil maid, the Torah Kedosha says that even when the oil maid was on the move, it was called oil maid, apish nasa. Even though the Mayid is moving, it's still considered Ayil Mayid, and it doesn't lose its status. And the Meshech Chachma explains how is this understood from the Pasuk. Says the Meshech Chachma, as the halacha is that we're going to learn it in our Shir, Mitzvah Shem, is that when they traveled, says the Meshech Chachma, the Torah gives very specific instructions how they should travel and who should go first and who should go second. What is the purpose, says the Meshech Chachma, that for that halacha? Explains the Meshech Chachma to show us that things don't change just because they're traveling. And therefore, just like we see that even when they traveled with a certain order, to show that the Kedusha doesn't leave, even though they're traveling. That's the point that shows that it's an oil maid even when they're traveling. Says the Marav Idach Nami, asked the Gemara, the man, the Amid that just said that when they're traveling, the lechem upon him doesn't become disqualified because of the pasuk of the Nos oil maid that we just discussed, Haksiv, but isn't there the other pasuk that we've been learning, Kashiachnuka Yisou, and that we learned that just like when the Mishkan is in a place, when the Mishkan is in its place, there's a concept of Yotzei. So too is there a concept of Yotzei when the Mishkan is not in its place. Says the Gemara, they learn it l'idach gisa. They learn it the other way. Mabach niyosai, when the Mishkan is in its place, kiloi mapikle, if you don't take it out from where it's supposed to be, sloy misal. It certainly doesn't become, the lechem doesn't become the disqualified. Even when it's traveling, if you leave it where it's supposed to be, so there's an obvious question that many ask that we just learned from the Pasuk V'nosoi Almayid that when the Mishkan is traveling, it still retains that Kedusha. So why do we need two psukim? Yes, he has a whole new definition, a new way of understanding the pasuk Kashach Nekein Yisoh. But why do we have to have two psukim to teach us the same lesson? So the Sefer Taras HaKodesh explains that if we only had the pasuk of Enos Oil Moed, we would say that the pasuk is only referring to Kachim Kalim, that don't have these strict rules about where they have to remain. But kachi kachim do become puzzle when they're traveling. Now that we have two psukim, we're able to say that not only does the halacha apply, this halacha apply to kachim kalim, it applies to kachi kachim as well. Vidach nami, the man, the omer that says that the lechem upon him does become puzzle, haksiv v'nasoil ma'id, says the Gemara, who, as we said, led the golem to us, to teach us that they traveled in the same formation. We know that Torah Kedoshah and Parshas Bamidbar is very specific in how the entire Klal Yisrael, how all the Degolim was set up in the Midbar. And Torah Kedoshah is teaching us that that formation continued even when they were traveling. Vidach, the other man, Damar, who needs the Nos Oil Moed to teach us that even when the Oil Moed is traveling, it still retains the Kedusha of the Oil Moed. How does he notice halacha that they traveled in the same formation as they were when they were settled? He learns that from the pasuk Mi Machnal Vi Mitoicha Machnas Nafka. Meisvei asked the Gemara, according to the opinion that says that the lechem that while it's traveling does not become pasul. The Braisa says b'shas siluk misaz, when the Klai Yisrael was on the move, kachim, any kachim that within that klayim, which is what we would call inside the azara, the salam b'yotze, because they become pasul with the disqualification of yotze. So we see that it doesn't retain that level of kedusha when they're traveling, and therefore zoven mitzrayim mishtachem chutz mechitzasai, the zoven that are sent outside the machna leviyah, the mitzrayim who may not even be machna yisrael, they can't be where they are. My laugh, but doesn't that, because even though this is the way the Rashba explains the Gemara, because even though when the Mishkan is taken down and they're traveling, the Machna Shechina is no longer there, but the Machna Leviyah, Machna Yisrael are still intact, particularly after we just learned that they traveled in that formation. Given that reality, since the Machna Shechina, the Machna Leviyah, Machna Yisrael are still intact, and as we just said, Azov is not going to be in Machna Leviyah, and Mitzar is not going to be in Machna Yisrael, that's why those halachas remain intact. But again, it's said here that Kachim and the Salam B'yotzei, isn't that clearly indication that even when they're traveling, the Lechem upon them doesn't have Kedusha? Says the Gemara, Loi. This price is speaking about other Kachim, Bam and Lechem upon them, but it's not referring to the Lechem upon them. Ask the Gemara, Manavshach, let's understand what you just said. If we're going to say that the Pasuk of Anasa Oil Moed is teaching us that even when the Oil Moed is traveling, it retains its Kedusha, if we're going to say Oil Moed Dafkahi, and that's what the Pasuk is here to teach us, so then Afilu Kachim Nami, then this halach either ought to apply to all Kachim. And if we're going to say Oil Moed Lav Dafka, Afilu Lechem Aparim Nami, and that the way to explain this pasuk is not to say that it retains the level of oil might even when it's traveling. So if that's the case, then the lechem upon him also, when the oil might is taken down, shall lose that status of being in the oil might and not be considered joitzer. Eloki also Ravin, when Ravin came from Etzisrael to Bavel Omer, he explained that when the Torah says oil moyed, it doesn't mean that it's still considered a full-fledged oil moyed when they are traveling. Umar Omar b'Masuda, the man that says that it doesn't become possible because when they were traveling, if they were traveling with the lechem on the shulchan, that it doesn't become disqualified. Umar Omar b'Masulik, and the man that says that it becomes disqualified is because it was taken off the shulchan. And if it's not on the shulchan, then of course it becomes pasul. And therefore, according to this interpretation, there's no machlokes of Yochanan, Yishuv, and Levi. In a case where it's masudr, where it's still on the shulchan, everybody is going to agree it's fine. And a case when it's not masudr, everybody will agree it's not fine. Omar Bai, Shmamino. From what we just learned, the kachim that are found in the Azara, at the time when they started traveling, all the kachim become pasul. The lechem upon him was saying is an exception because it was still on the shulchan. But all other kachim become pasul because they're no longer within the Azara. Yesh shilk masas belayla. That sometimes we know that how did they know it came to the time came to travel? Because there was a cloud over the oil moed, and when that onan began to move, that's the proof that they have to travel. So from here we see that they will even travel by night. This al-kadatach, if we're going to say ain't silk masos balayla, that they never traveled by night, they always traveled in the morning. And as I sort of first explained, because the Chazal teach us that oil yetzi odam b'kitoiv, a person should always attempt to travel by day in the morning. So if we'll say, Disak datach ain't silk masos balayla, they didn't travel by night. only in the morning, Amos Midli. When are you saying they traveled? Letzafra, in the morning. Ask the Gemara, if they're traveling in the morning, how would we have Kachim that became possible because of Yotzei? My area, Mishum Yotzei. How would we have a situation that the Kachim became possible because of Yotzei? Typically, Difsalei Belina. Any carbon that was brought yesterday became possible the day, if it was not eaten overnight, in the next morning. And to explain this a little better, we have to be talking about Kachim. Because Kachim Kalim, that don't necessarily get possible the next morning, don't need the Azara. We're talking about Kabonis that are limited to be eaten only in the Azara. But those Kabonis can be only eaten below Liyoyim Velayla. If they can be eaten Liyoyim Velayla, so if they're traveling in the morning, they're already possible because the time for eating, Lina, has passed. Answers the Gemara, absolutely. Pshita, Lelechus Yoyim Velayla Ksiv, when the Torah describes Klal Yisrael traveling in the Midbar, it says that they traveled during the Laila, clearly indicating that they traveled at night as well. Says the Gemara, Madatema, this pasuk is not necessarily a proof that it has to be that way. Because maybe the pasuk is speaking, Hechadok Yimama. When they began to travel in the morning, the pasuk is telling us they continue traveling through the night. In a case where they didn't begin traveling in the morning, we could perhaps suggest that they didn't start ever travel by night. That's what the price is not teaching us, that they even began traveling at the night. Says the Marvin Mini, but we'll ask a question. The pasuk we learned in the price before, Hugla Proichus, that if the Proichus around the Mishkan was dismantled, at that point, they're allowed to go there. But we just learned before, asked the Gemara, that, and we explained that even when they were traveling, the Zov and Mitzrayim were not allowed to be in Machnel V and Machnel Yisrael. Rav Ashi loy kasha. How do we reconcile these two brises? Ha, the brise that says that when the Mishkan is dismantled, the Zov and Mitzrayim may go anywhere, is representing the opinion of Rebbe Lezer. Baha, the Baisa that says that even after the Mishkan was dismantled, they may not, represents the opinion of the Rabbonim. The Tanya, as explains the Gemara, we learned on the Baisa. Rebbe Lezer, Ami Yochel, Dokum Mitzrayim, Zovin Mitzrayim. If the Zovin and Mitzrayim entered the base of Mikdash, for Nichnas Lezara Bepesach Abba, as we learned many times, the Aloch is, of course, that when Klal Yisrael bring the carbon Pesach, Erev Pesach, you're not to be Tamei. But, and those people who are Tamei, wait to bring their carbon Pesach on Pesach Sheni. But if most of Klal Yisrael are Tamei at that time, we don't wait for Pesach Sheni, we bring the carbon Pesach B'tumah. The Pasuk says, Ish Ish Ki Yir Tamei L'Nefesh, and the Torah is saying that if there's only an Ish, only if Yechidim, only if individuals are Tamei and Pesach Rishon, do they get pushed off the Pesach Sheni on Yud Dalid Iyar. But a Tzibur is not pushed off the Pesach Sheni and they bring the carbon. But this halacha, that if most of Klal Yisrael is Tamei, they bring the carbon on Pesach Rishon, is only regarding Tumas Meis. But a Zov and Mitzayra, even though if most of Klal Yisrael are Tamei and are bringing their Karm Pesach and Tumah, it doesn't give the Zav and the Mitzayra a right to bring the Karm Pesach and Tumah. Again, says Rebbe Lezer, Yochel, Doch Zav and Mitzayrim, the Zav and Mitzayrim who certainly may not enter the Beis HaMikdash, entered the Beis HaMikdash, V'nichnas U'lazar B'Pesach Abba B'Tumah, and they entered under the circumstances that we just explained, Yochel Yechayovin, they should be chayiv kares, like normally is the halacha, if a zov and a mitzayra entered the Beis HaMikdash. Tamalaymer, v'yishalchem and machna kalzruv v'kalzov v'kaltamei l'nefesh. We learn from here, v'shoshu tamei meisim mishtalchem, when tamei meisim may not come, then the zov and a zayra mishtalchem, and they'll get kares chas v'sholom. ain't Tamei Mesim Shtachim, but if it's a situation where the Tamei Mesim are not being sent out, then ain't Zov Mishtalchim. That means that they are sent out. As we just said, they don't bring a Karm Pesach. But the Chi of Karis that we just said, that a Zov Mitzayra normally are subject to if they go into the Beis HaMikdash or the Azara, will not apply. So that says the Gemara, we see from Rav Elazar that just like on Pesach that's brought to Tumah, we're lenient with the Zav and the Mitzayra, says Rav Elazar, in a time where they're traveling and the Mishkan was taken apart, they Zav and the Mitzrayim may enter that area. And therefore, that's the Bryce that said that they can enter represents his opinion. The other Bryce that we learned, that even when they're traveling, the Zav and the Mitzrayim may not enter that area, hold like the Chachamim, that disagreed Rav Elazar, and they hold that Azov Mitzrayim would enter the Azara in a case of a Pesach, Habo B'tumah. The halach is that Azov Mitzrayim is Chayiv Karis. And the same thing will happen if he enters the place of the Mishkan. Even when it's traveling, he's Chayiv. Says the Mishnah, Shtei Lechem Echis Lechem upon him, both the Shtei Lechem and the Lechem upon him, Lishoson V'Arichoson B'chutz. The preparation of the carbon was done that outside of the Azara. However, the Chafetz Chaim in the Sefer Likutei Halacha says that let's say somebody will choose to do the Lisha of Azara in the Azara, he will be allowed to. The Mishnah is teaching us that if they want to do it, they can do it outside the Azara. There are other Achroinim that disagree with the Chafetz Chaim, and they explain that it has to be done strictly outside the Azara. Again, Achishtei Lechem Achis Lechem upon him, Lishoson V'Arichoson B'chutz, V'Afiyoson, the baking was done in the Azara. Einan Doichas Shabbos, and the next halacha is that we're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, we're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos in order to be able to bake the Lechem upon him. Furthermore, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the Tanna Kamma, and he says that everything involving the lechem upon him and the shtei lechem were done b'fnim, were done in the Azara. Rav Shimon says, loyal mavarag loymer. Rav Shimon said it this way, because why does the Mishnah use this kind of language? Havarag loymer. So I saw that the Tiferes Yisrael explains that Rav Shimon did not have psukim. This opinion that Rav Shimon is now stating is not based on psukim. It was based on a Kabbalah, on what he learned from his Rebbe's, to show that he's saying this halacha, because this is what he heard from his Rebbe. That's why he presented it with this wording. Shtei lechem lechem upon him, k'sheris b'azara, the kosher in Dazara, the k'shera b'pais pagi. There's a machloikis how to identify beis pagi. Some explain the beis pagi means anywhere in Yerushalayim, and others explain the beis pagi means anywhere in the Harabais, but not past the Harabais. So, why is there a difference when we speak about the lishoson v'richoson that could be done outside the Azara, and the baking is done inside? Because so they explain that the tanur in which they bake is a kli sharis, and the kli sharis has to be the Azara, but the lishoson v'richoson, the preparing, doesn't require a tanur. And since it doesn't require a tanner, it could be done even outside the Azara. It's also interesting to point out that our Mishnah speaks about the Shtei Lechem. It speaks about the Lechem upon him, but it does not speak about the Karban Mincha. And the question is, it seems that the Menachas could be done what is the halacha of the menachas? So Dvaz explains that the lechem aponim and the shtei lechem were not put on the mizbeach. And therefore, that's why there are certain leniencies that they don't have to be done in the Azara. Whereas the Karban Mincha, in every Karban Mincha we know there's the Kemitza, and the Kemitza has to be put on the Mishka, on the Mizbeach. Since we have the Kemitza that has to be put on the Mizbeach, certainly the preparation and the baking have to be done in the Azara, given that we have here something that's ultimately going to be put on the Mizbeach. The Lechem Mishnah says that by the Lechem Aponim and the Shtei Lechem, there was no Shemen. We go back to a discussion that we've had a number of times, meaning that the Shemen had a different type of a measuring cup than the flour. The flour is something that's dry. Something that's dry, the keli that was used was not a klisharis. And therefore, the keli, that could be prepared outside the Azara. But the Karban Mincha had oil, so they had to use a klisharis that was used for liquid. And the klisharis that was used for liquid is a kodesh, so therefore it had to be done in the Azara. I saw another pshat from Meir Soloveitchik Zatzal. He says that the Karban Mincha had a kedushas haguf. And since they had a kedushas haguf, that's why it had to be done in the Azara. The shulch, the shtei lechem, and lechem aponim don't have that same type of kedushas haguf. Another explanation I saw from the Migdish David is that, as we're going to be learning, our Mishnah already touched upon it, the shtei lechem and the lechem aponim were all prepared before Shabbos. That means that they were prepared beforehand. Something that prepared beforehand, maybe at least certain elements of it, may be prepared outside the Azara. But something that is not being prepared beforehand, a Karban Mincha, you can't prepare it beforehand. Therefore, it has to be done in the Azara. The Mishnah said, Veine Deiches is a Shabbos. So there's an interesting question that I saw the Chemda Shloima discusses. We have to prepare, and we're going to speak about this extensively, Bezer Hashem Yisbarach, the Lechem Aponim before Shabbos, even though it's only put on the Shulchan, the old Lechem Aponim taken out, the new Lechem Aponim put in on Shabbos. The question is, what happens if they prepared Lechem Aponim before Shabbos, and something happened to the Lechem Aponim, it got tumah, it got lost, would they be allowed to bake new Lechem Aponim on Shabbos? And he says it's connected to Machloikis in Masech Erevin Daf Kuf Gimel Amid Aleph, where we know that they had instruments that they played with on Shabbos, and you're not allowed to make an instrument or repair an instrument on Shabbos. What would be the halacha if a string of the kinnor of the harp tore on Shabbos? may be repaired on Shabbos or not. The opinion of Chachamim is that it may be. Because as we're going to learn, we've learned already, but we're going to learn again, that anything that couldn't be done before Shabbos, we're allowed to do on Shabbos. And they say that this is considered like something that couldn't have done before Shabbos. We had no way of knowing that this harp is going to get broken, I'm going to have to use it. And therefore, under these circumstances, I'm allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. On the other hand, the opinion of Shimon is that you're not allowed to repair on Shabbos. So he wants to say that will be the same question here, that even though we're supposed to bake the lechem upon him before Shabbos, if we didn't bake it before Shabbos, if we baked it before Shabbos and something happened, it would be subject to the machlokes of the Chachamim of Shimon. Rav Shimon said, Loyal Mavarogel, Loy Mishtei Lechem Lechem Upon him, Ksheres Bazara, Ksheres Bebeis Pagi. So the Karen Oyer explains that Rav Shimon is to be understood that as a third opinion. The previous opinions all agreed that the baking has to be done in the Azara. And Rav Shimon's saying that even the baking does not have to be done on in the Azara. On the other hand, the Sfasemis wants to suggest that it could be that Reb Shimon is saying that he's not saying a new opinion, but rather the Sfasemis wants to suggest that Reb Shimon is explaining the first opinion. The first opinion says the dough is done outside and the baking inside, and he's coming to explain what is the pshat when we say that the baking is done inside. Doesn't mean dafka inside the Azara, anywhere within Beis Pagai, with the different interpretations that we gave to that. Says the Gemara, Hagufa Kasha. Amrit, we first said, Lishasavar Chosim Bechutz, that the lechem is prepared outside the Azara. Alma, what do we see from here? Midas Yavish, as we explain. At that point, all we have is just flour, the sarna flour, loinus kacha, did not have kedusha, they weren't anointed, they weren't smeared with the Shemen HaMishka, and therefore, the avoid with them could be done chutz la'azara. B'fiyasan b'fnim, but we learned that the baking is done in the Azara. What do we see? Midas Yavis Nakachai. And that's why it has to be done strictly inside the Azara, because if it's going to be done outside of the Azara, so then it's going to be possible with Yotzei. But if it's not Kaddosh, why can't we bake it inside? Says the Gemara, Amar Rabba, comments Rabba, Hiksha Adam Kashim, a hard person asked this question, Shukashu Kabarzel. He's as sharp as metal. Umanu, who is the person that we're referring to? Says the Gemara, the person that we're referring to is Rav Sheshis. So what does this mean? So I saw the Chavis Yor explains the Tosfos in Masechet Erevin, Daf Mem Aleph, the Ramaskla Data, says that whenever we have a Machloikis of Rav Sheshis versus Rav Nachman of Chizda, since Rav Sheshis was such a big Talmud Chacham, he knew a lot, and he was a big Lamdim, we always follow his Pshat, his Psak. And therefore, that's the Gemara question. What the Gemara means to say is that you have a person of the stature of Rav Sheshis asking a question, and that's why it's compared to metal. What does it mean that it's compared to metal? That he's sharp. He was a very big, very sharp. And it's interesting to point out that many Mefarshim actually indicate that in Shas, Rav Sheshis is actually typically referred to as the person who is the Baki, as the person who is so knowledgeable. And here we see that he's considered sharp as the Lamdan. So we see that being a Baki comes together with being a Lamdan. And being a Lamdan comes together with being a Baki, says the Gemara. So your question was, if it's not Kaddosh, why must it be baked in the Azara? To which the Gemara comments, my kasha, Dilma Isorin, the keli in which they put the flour, loy mekadesh, and that's why they could prepare the flour in chutz la'azara. But the tanner in which they baked it, that was kaddosh, and because it was baked in the tanner, that's kaddosh, that's why it has to be done inside the azara. And I saw that Sfas Emeth explains, why is there a difference between this and that? He said, because we learned in our previous year that in the tanner, there were tfusim, there were molds. And those molds in the tanner were klisharis. That's why the lech becomes kaddish. Says the Gemara, Ali kasha, why was the kasha? Ha kasha. Afiyas mefnim, the alma tanner mekaddish. The tanner makes the lechem kaddish. Vein doichas shabbos, the aloch is, but we also learned in our Mishnah, that we may not bake the lechem upon him on Shabbos. But the question is, if Slobalina, if they bake the lechem upon him Erev Shabbos, and it becomes Kaddosh, because it was in the tanner, why is there no problem of Lina overnight till Shabbos? Amar Rava. So this Rava says, Hiksha Adam Kasha, Shukashu Kabazel, Omanu Rav Sheshis. This indeed is a very difficult question. Amar of Sheshes, my kusha. Why is this such a difficult question? Dilma my bifnim. What does it mean when it says that it was built baked inside the Azara? It doesn't mean that it was actually baked in the Azara itself. It means b'makom zrizim. The lechem upon him, as we mentioned many times, was baked matzah, and therefore you had to have kohanim take care of the baking to make it in a place, to make it and bake it in a way that it should remain matzah. But says the Gemara, for Hadar Rav Ashi, what Rav Ashi just said, Berusahi, is actually incorrect. Manushach. Because, let's understand, Ibafia, if what the Mishnah is trying to teach us is that when it comes to the baking of the lechem upon him, Binim's reason, we have to have Kohanim who are going to be most careful to make sure that the lechem upon him doesn't become chametz, then Lisha Varicha Namibinim. So it's not only for the baking part, it's for the preparing the dough part the same. Vi Lisha Varicha Labinim's reason, and if we're going to say that we don't need to have such competency for the preparing of the dough, but fear Nami Labinim's reason. El de Ravashi, what Ravashi just said, suggests the Gemara Berusahi is not correct. So Rashi already points out that the Gemara is speaking about the lechem upon him. What's going to be the halacha about the shtei lechem? Will they also have the same requirement? So I saw two different approaches in the achrayim. There's some achrayim that suggest that the lechem upon him, that's only talking about the lechem upon him. Just because we speak about the shtei lechem and the lechem upon him so often together, that's why they're mentioned together. But actually, the shtei lechem don't have these requirements. Another pshat that I saw, actually, is just the opposite. That just like by the lechem upon him, we want to make sure that the lechem upon him is matzah and doesn't become chametz, so too, we want to be very careful about the shtei lechem, that the shtei lechem be chametz. And the only way we can guarantee that the shtei lechem will be chametz is if the kohanim who do it right. So, but Tosfos points out is that we have here a question. The Gemara asked that how do we reconcile what the Mishnah says? So Tosfos says that we're going to have to understand that there's a machloikas tanoim in our Mishnah, two separate tanoim. The mandam that says that the lechem upon him was baked in the Tanner, in the Azara, because he holds the Tanner's Mekadosh, is going to hold that you could bake the lechem upon him on Shabbos, because otherwise you would have a problem with Lina. And the man d'Amar that says that it's not Doich Shabbos is obviously going to be of the opinion that they didn't bake the lechem upon him in the Azara. They baked the lechem upon him outside, and that's why there's no problem of Lina, and that's why in the Doichus Shabbos, the lechem upon him was not Doichus Shabbos. It's very interesting that many ask a question on the Rambam, because on one hand, the Rambam paskins that the lechem upon him was baked inside the Azara. And yet, so according to the way we're learning now, if the lechem upon him was baked inside the Azara, the halacha ought to be that you're not allowed to bake it, you should have to bake it on Shabbos. But on the other hand, the Rambam says that they baked the lechem upon him on Friday. So how do we reconcile these two seemingly conflicting opinions? So the lechem Mishnah trying to explain the opinion of the Rambam says that the Rambam's opinion is that even though the Tanner is Mekadosh, and therefore we should have a problem if you bake the lechem on Friday, you bake it before Shabbos, that there should be a problem of lina, the Rambam's opinion will be, suggests the lechem Mishnah, that the tanner is not considered like a regular kli sharis. In a regular kli sharis, as we've been saying, there's a concept of tanner makadish, that anything that's put in a kli sharis becomes kadosh and becomes subject to the halachas of lina. But the tanner is not that type of a keli.
because the Tana is not that type of a keli, the Rambam will allow that you could bake in the Tana on Friday and still not have a problem of lina. Says the Gemara, Rav Yehuda Amar, Koma Seyem, everything in the preparation of the Lechem upon him was all done in the Azara. Rav Yehuda's opinion is based because he holds the Lechem upon him, as we just said, was baked in a Tanner, which makes a Kaddosh, and therefore you could only bake it on Shabbos. Because otherwise, we'll have a problem of Lina. Going further in the Mishnah, Rav Shimon's opinion is that the baking of the Lechem upon him can be done Chutz L'Azara. Obviously, Rav Shimon's opinion is that the Tanner is not Mekaddosh, and therefore, since the Tanner is not Mekaddosh, we need not be concerned about Lina, and therefore we could bake the Lechem upon him on Erev Shabbos. Omer Abba Bar Kahana, Vishneim, Rav Yehuda and Shimon, Mikra Achad Darshu. They both based their opinions on one pasuk. Vu derech choil av ki yagdish hakli. The pasuk speaks about when David HaMelech killed Goliath HaPlishti, and Shaul at that point began to hate David HaMelech and wanted to kill him. And David HaMelech recognized this because Shaul's son Yonason indeed confirmed that David HaMelech's fears were correct. So at that point, he ran to Noiv Ir Kahanim, which was where the Mishkan was, and Achimelech the Kohen Gadol, who was not aware of this whole situation, that Shaul is looking to kill David. So David HaMelech told him, he's coming as a messenger of Shaul HaMelech, and he asked him to give him 5 loaves of bread. And Achimelech and the other Kahanim said that they don't have any regular bread. The only bread that they have is Lechem upon him. And based on this story, that background is the while we begin this piece of Gemara. Rav Yehuda says, B'chol Ashkechinu D'Kafalei. Rav Yehuda says that David HaMelech met them during the week when they were baking the Lechem upon him. Amalei, derech chol kafisaleich. You're baking the bread during the week. Af ki hayoyim yedesh b'kli. Even though by baking it in this tanner, it becomes kadosh, if slebelina. And therefore, we see that David HaMelech was telling them, you shouldn't be baking it during the week. Because baking that during the week in the tanner creates a problem of lina. Rav Shimon Sover, he found them baking the bread on Shabbos. And he said, Omalu loy dar chol bislam avdei. Why aren't you supposed to bake this bread during the week? Me the Tana Makadish? Does the Tana make the bread Kaddish? That's why you can't bake it on Friday because you have a problem of Lina? Shochu the Makadish. Ask the Gemara. So we see they had these, the Yudim Shimon had this fundamental disagreement on how to understand the Pasuk if they bake the Lechem upon him before Shabbos or on Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, Mimatzis Amrit. Can we say the B'shasach fi Ashkechinu that David met the Kohanim as they were baking for Ksiv for Yitin Loi Hakoyin Kodesh? They gave David HaMelech Lechem upon him. Kiloi Hashem Lechem ki im Lechem upon him Hamsul Lefnei Hashem. They gave David HaMelech this Lechem because there was nothing else available. So if that's the case, it's already on Shabbos. Not only is it Shabbos, it's on Shabbos when they took out the Lechem upon him. Elamai derechol de kamalei. What did David HaMelech mean to say? Yach kamalei. Lechem, you don't have regular bread. Kiim lechem upon him, amsurim ufnei Hashem. The only lechem you have available is the lechem upon him. Amu loy meboyi, hi. The kiim of the nofikli, me'ilob. The lechem upon him, once it's taken out of his shulchan, so it's not on that high level of kedusha. It's no longer subject to mila, derechol, and there's no mila with me eating it. And certainly you may give it to me. Elafila haich nami, even if it was the new lechem that you're putting into the shulchan, which is not going to be eaten till next week. That yoyim ha yigdish bekeli, it's only being put into the shulchan today. Havalei de lechel, give it to me to eat. Because why? Mesukin. I am a matzav of sakonas nefashis, and we know that sakonas nefashis, the loch is bikuach nefesh, overrides everything, and also overrides that the lechem upon him should maybe eaten. Rabbi Yehuda of Shimon. So if that's the case, that has nothing to do with the pasuk. And therefore says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda of Shimon, the Gemara pligi. They can name the Tanner of Shimon Raim Loilim, have a rug of loimer. Shtei lechem lechem upon him, ksheris bazara, ksheris a base pagi. Shmamina, as we spent, as so when we learned the Mishnah, the wording of Rabbi Shimon indicates that Rabbi Shimon is teaching us that this was a Kabbalah that he had. And it was a Kabbalah that he had, and now he and that Rabbi Yehuda did not have that Kabbalah, but it has nothing to do with the Pasuk. Of course, the question is, certainly Achimelech was well aware, that Pikuach Nefesh is Doicha. So what was this debate? The question I saw that Achroim suggest is Achimelech wasn't sure what is the best thing for David HaMelech to be given. Should be given Lechem Aponim or given Truma. Each had different reasons what this or that are better to be given.